Blog Talk Radio.
Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2011, and you are listening to Phoning It In right here on the GWH Radio Network, of course, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Of course, I am Trent Vandrese, and you are not, and be glad of that. And yes, we are back this week, and boy, for you folks listening live on Valentine's Day, what losers you must be, huh? But you archive folks, welcome to, well, this show may be an interesting one. Larry Goodman has got us into a fine fix once again. We advertised Ladies' Night, which at this point may turn out to be Lady Night. So, Larry, I'm going to make the hot tag. I'm going to put all the blame on you. I want you to tell these people at this point, as far as what we know of what exactly is going to go on this particular episode of Phoning It In.
Larry, what we know for relatively certain is that we will have Tracy Taylor.
Yeah.
Georgia wrestling star, former WWE development talent, former PGWA women's wrestling champion, a number of other women's titles. She will be with us. She will grace our presence during the first hour of this show. It's increasingly looking like we will not have Mickey Knuckles with us for the second hour. So I apologize for that. If by any chance that occurs, that'll be a wonderful surprise for all of us. Hopefully we'll also have a little bit of audio footage from the Ted Allen Memorial. Although, Trent, a message just appeared here on the screen that says from Blog Talk saying, there is a delay in audio file processing. We are working to rectify this. So it's not my technologically challenged as it is, it is definitely not my night so far. So that's what we got going.
Tonight.
And our man Murder One apparently is out entertaining a lady and will call in if and when he can. You know, I mean, he said he'd be here, but he's entertaining a couple. Now it is Valentine's Day, and I can't say anything about that.
Yeah, after he buys that Waffle House dinner, he'll probably get busy. It may be a while. It may take him to the end of the commercial, you know, to call us in.
we're the two losers on the radio here, you know.
I was going to say, I'm the real loser. I mean, but I want to know how a married man like you gets away with doing a show on Valentine's Day. You must have, how did you swing that?
Well, how I swing it is my wife works until 9 o'clock on Monday nights. I bought her the dozen yellow roses she wanted. And I'm in good shape.
Well, what does yellow signify exactly? You know, all these colors mean something different.
Jeez, hell if I know it. She just always likes yellow.
Okay. Well, yellow means something to women. Different color. Maybe Tracy Taylor could tell us what yellow means.
We could ask her.
Have the answer. We could ask her. I'm sure these women know these type of things. Well, Larry, we don't have the footage for the Ted Allen Memorial, but I read your wonderful report, and I guess that's the big news coming out of the weekend in Georgia. The Ted Allen Memorial Show finally took place, and Larry, it sounds like it was a smashing success and a very emotional night for a lot of people involved.
Yeah, hats off to the people involved in putting that show together, in particular Terry Lawler, and it's just an incredible turnout of the Georgia wrestling community. You know, people from the Gulf Coast Wrestling Reunion came up, including Cowboy Bob Kelly. A dressing room full of Georgia stars turned out to pay tribute to Ted Allen. And, I mean, it was really a heartfelt, heartwarming experience, I think, for everyone who was there. Really, really a wonderful thing. And that they were able to pull it off this long after the fact, and, you know, 650 people turned out, and anybody who was anybody in Georgia who wasn't, you know, booked for another show was there, you know. It was really something.
Well, Ted Allen, and rightfully so, you know, has been talked about a lot here on the GWH Reader Network since his untimely passing. But, you know, and we already knew this, Larry, but I think that show and that kind of turnout and that kind of a show really, you know, shows what kind of a man he was and how highly he was thought of, you know, in Georgia. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the story Bob Kelly told about him being the one who started the Sunshine Fund for the Gulf Coast Wrestling Union to help guys who couldn't afford to get there to pay their way. And there's a guy who never worked Gulf Coast, but once he started going, he never missed a year.
That's awesome. You know.
Yeah, it really was. It really was a great thing and a great tribute.
Now, I'm not trying to jump the gun. Are they hoping to make this an annual event, or was this a one-time thing, or does anybody even know?
I heard nothing of that, but we do have a couple of other benefit shows along the same lines coming up. Ben Masters is going to run one for Susan Meek. Susan was office for Dusty Rhodes Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. And she's battling cancer, and Ben's going to run a show for her in Douglasville on April 9, and when Steve Carino heard about it, he offered to drive up and do the show for nothing because he was apparently close with Susan from the time that he worked for Dusty. So and a lot of the same folks. I just saw the card today. I don't have it in front of me, but it's a lot of the same folks who work the Ted Allen show are going to be on that show.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah.
You know, usually benefit shows, you know, are not about work rate. You know, they're about benefiting the person that's there to be honored or there to raise money for. But Larry, I understand this particular one actually featured some pretty hot action with some young Georgia stars, specifically Chip Day. I guess they tore the house down, didn't they, Larry?
Chip Day and Frankie Valentine was really a terrific match. The whole eight-man elimination was very good, but the last 5 minutes when it was just down to those two guys was just terrific action. And, of course, I really enjoyed Brad Armstrong and Kyle Matthews doing a total 70s scientific style match too. That wasn't, you know, the crowd, you know, appreciated it, but it didn't get the rousing response, of course, that eight-man elimination did, where the action just drew the people into the match. It was truly excellent, and Frankie Valentine's a very unappreciated talent, I think, by many. You know, outside those who know what a great worker he is, but you know, he doesn't get much notice outside of the North Georgia area, of course.
I watched the little news story about it, you know, the clips and people talking and stuff. Now, is this, and probably not, but was this maybe taped for a DVD release, or was this strictly just a live show for Ted Allen's, you know, memory?
If it's taped, I didn't see anything of that nature going on.
I don't
think it was.
I figured it wasn't. You know, I was figuring that it probably was not, you know, was my guess. Well, Larry, I want to ask you, what is going on with our good friend Dave Wills? The man all of a sudden has once again ascended to, you know, and every day, like every few hours, you have a new update. The man's got a new update. There's something else going on. Of course, as most of you folks know, Dave Wills is the mastermind behind the wonderful Dave in Danger show right here on the GWH Radio Network every Tuesday night. And he has some of the best interviews with the older stars around. But apparently, Larry, why don't you fill us in? What's going on? Mr. Wills, this is the biggest thing he's done since he cried.
Yeah, you know, he mentioned something about this to me a while back, and, you know, that this could be happening, but I thought, well, yeah, okay, you know, we'll see. But lo and behold, he'll be on this Bill Tosh show on Comedy Central tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. It's a wrestling clip, and apparently, from what's been written, I know Mike Johnson had this on PW Insider, that Sergeant Slaughter is going to be involved in this segment as well. So hats off to Dave Wills as well. You know, what can you say?
Well, from the little clip I saw, it looked like some Dave Wills and somebody doing an Ultimate Warrior impression, and it looked like it had potential to actually be legit pretty funny from what I saw, you know.
Yeah,
so.
And if I understood right from talking to Mark Danger at the show the other night, this is not a new clip by any means.
Oh, it's been around a while.
Apparently it's been around a while, but of course now it will surface on Comedy Central tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Tune in.
Absolutely. And cheap plug time, I'm fairly sure that Mr. Wills will be speaking about this on his program tomorrow night, but here on the same network, he'd be a fool not to, and we know Dave Wills is not a fool. So I'm sure he'll be plugging that, so my God.
Since we're in plugging mode, he's got Bill Dundee as his guest tomorrow night as well.
Oh, the superstar Bill Dundee.
Yes.
Well, you know, this went through my mind. what did you make of that clip of that finish of Lawler versus Dundee? And with all respect to the superstar Bill Dundee, and the man deserves all the respect in the world. You know, I read all these reports, you know, on the January 29th tribute to the Fairground show in Nashville. Everybody had a great time, 1,700 sold-out crowd. Most people thought it was a great show. But from that clip, you know, that pile driver looked great, and everything else looked like total, you know what I'm
saying? You know,
I'm watching the Westminster Dog Show right now, total dog doo-doo, okay?
I can tell you, though, from talking to Danger and Dave Wills, they swore that was a good match. But, I mean, in that clip when Dundee just sort of falls down, rolls onto his back there, taking the punch from Lawler, it's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, I know the man's 67 years old and all, but that just did not look very good.
Yeah, none of it. The pile driver looked good, but even the – and I know you can say I'm nitpicking a Legends nostalgia match, and I know it's nostalgia, but, like, when you watch it, even the Lawler strap coming down, like, it's the timing is wrong. You know what I mean? The timing
yeah,
is
I didn't,
wrong. Lawler goes, like Lawler says, whoa, and Dundee woes, and he kind of, but Lawler falls down then, the whole thing, I'm like, this, because I haven't watched it twice, like, the whole timing of it is just goofy, you know? So, you know.
Oh, my.
Proud is like, if you want to call 347-324-5735 and call me a butthead, go ahead. I don't care. But even the crowd is like a combination of – it's a weird crowd. It's like hot and dead at the same time. Did you notice that?
Yeah. They weren't exactly red hot at that point in the evening.
But they were still kind of hot. You know what I mean? They popped for certain things, you know. And then our old friend Dutch Mantell asking the crowd if the pile driver was legal. And they say, yeah, and that's – well, I know it's wrestling, but boy, okay.
Well, and taping over the TNA on his shirt, and then finally it just apparently came off, so he just did the hell with it.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, he had a TNA ref shirt. This may not have occurred during the clip, but he had taped over the TNA, and it just finally fell. He kept falling off. He kept trying to put it back on, and finally just left it off. So he's wearing a TNA ref shirt.
Well, Larry, I don't know if you think I'm much of a booker, but how'd you like my idea that they could have went with the angle that the pile driver is illegal in the other saw, and Dundee had the wrong saw?
Yeah.
He said the pile driver was illegal. I think that would have been – nobody would have got it, but it would have made me pop, put it that way.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. You would have popped, but nobody else would have got it.
I know that. But if I was in a booking meeting, I would have thrown that one out there for consideration to be turned down, but it hopefully would have got a laugh from somebody, you know. So.
Hey, listen, before we move on to a couple other Nashville matters that you can fill us in on, I did want to mention that the rumor has it that we do have a buyer for NWA Anarchy. But
really?
Yes. But the identity of that new owner will not be revealed until either Hardcore Hell, which is April 9th, or the TV taping preceding it. But the rumblings are that there will be a sale is imminent, and wrestling will continue in Cornelia.
Well, I guess that needs to be taken as good news. So they have a, should we call it like a mysterious benefactor or something, or just a...
Something of that, yeah, that's... you could say
Joe
that.
Pedicino. I wonder if it's Joe Pedicino. It couldn't be Joe Pedicino.
Nah.
I wonder if it's Don the Moose Lewis.
Oh, man, his name came up the other night
at
Ted Allen because of the whole business of who owns the name. And Ben Masters is using the name Georgia Championship Wrestling for his benefit show on April 9th because he has permission from Grady Odom, who owns the name, registers it with the state of Georgia every year. He says he got it from he got Briscoe's permission to use the name when they sold out to WWF way back, that he got permission to use the name and has registered and kept it active with the Secretary of State in Georgia every year since. Now, Moose Lewis claims he owns the name, so there could be some wrong. I haven't heard anything from Moose Lewis in a long time. Hey, Moose, if you're out there, give us a call and let us know what you think about this, but because he has in the past said that he owns rights to the name Georgia Championship Wrestling.
I've heard that. I don't know. I don't remember where I've read that, but I have read that somewhere. Now, my bell is ringing now that you mention that. And you know what else is ringing? And I know we're jumping around here a little bit, but heck, we're just having fun talking. But was it Moose Lewis that was talking about having like an all-white basketball association at one point?
That's the guy. He wanted an all-white basketball association. That's the man.
That never got off the ground, did it?
Never heard another word about it.
Oh, man. He's a...
quite a character.
A lot of characters, you know, hanging around the wrestling business. Of course, if you want to jump back to Nashville real quick, Larry,
yes,
as
please.
You know, Showtime All-Star Wrestling had a television taping Saturday night back at the Stadium Inn in Nashville, Tennessee. Apparently, they taped 13 matches. However, their champion, who I think pretty much close to the end was advertised to be there, that's one Phil Shatter, who is he Gunner or Murphy in TNA? I can never keep it straight.
I believe he's Gunner.
Gunner, okay. Well, whatever, Gunner or Murphy, he was not at the taping, and so apparently the next few weeks, at least they have some footage, but they will not have their champion on there. Tommy Mercer, known as Crimson in TNA, was at the taping, and he wrestled Chase Stevens at the show. However, due to Mercer's contract with TNA, Saw cannot show that footage on television, and Saw has been certainly scraping for footage as while the show was going on at the Stadium Inn, their television show that airs on Saturday night in Nashville was actually showing previously unaired footage from a USWO taping from August of 2009. So at least they have some footage in the can. So, Larry, I hope they can... really hope they can get some momentum, because right now it seems like they're really scraping for footage right now. But now at least they should have some for a few weeks. So.
Yeah, that gets them a little extra time. And if they got 13 matches, that should be at least 3 weeks of TV, so they won't be under such under the gun to such an extent on getting out TV shows. But you know, if they've got like 10 weeks from now until the Fairgrounds date, and you know, I certainly have to agree, momentum is lacking at this point. They're going to have to build to get ready for that Fairgrounds date 10 weeks from now. And the TV shows are lacking the star power without, of course, the second time that Shatter's been advertised for a title match that didn't take place. And then when they're doing Mercer Stevens, those are really good matches, but none of that can be used on television. So the TV shows are themselves have been lacking in star power for that reason.
And it's also interesting to note, Larry, I was also told that I'm not reading anything into this, but May 5th or May 7th, whatever the date is for the Fairgrounds show?
Yeah.
May 7th. The past couple weeks, that has not been mentioned on their television at all.
Oh.
What has been, at all. It has not been mentioned at all. And you know how things go in wrestling. When something's not mentioned, it does make you perk up a little bit, you know? What has been mentioned is apparently they're coming back to Gallatin in June. That was heavily plugged. And I believe in April, don't hold me, because I live in Louisville now. I'm just getting this, you know, information secondhand. But apparently, I believe in April they're coming to Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. That was the stuff they were plugging, was Gallatin in June and a show in Lawrenceburg sometime in spring.
Yeah, I knew Gallatin was in the works, but I will have to follow up on that information and see what I can find out about those dates what's up with the Fairgrounds.
Right. I don't know if there's anything up, but at least it has not been mentioned. And as far as momentum, I guess they don't have a lot. But I will say this for them. They did draw apparently a paying crowd of over 100 people Saturday at the Stadium Inn, which is not a big venue. So they did, you know, crowd-wise, they did well for it, you know, for that venue.
And that should make for good TV with that many people in there.
Oh, yeah, and the Stadium Inn is what it is, and it's legendary, but... you know, as far as taping TV, it is a turnkey operation, especially with a good crowd. So, you know, if the atmosphere was good, that should definitely be a positive for them.
Any other news from up your way?
Last Saturday in here in OVW was the Saturday night special for Ohio Valley, the monthly non-televised show. The main event was Mr. Media, Cliff Compton, who some of you may remember as Domino in the WWE, who was the OVW champion. He fought Mike Mondo, who you remember as Mikey from the Spear Squad. That was your main event. The former champion, Lowrider Matt Barella, was named the referee. And Compton retained the title. Basically what happened was Barella got mad and knocked out Compton and then knocked out Mondo. They actually showed clips of this on their television last week, if you said my special. I actually watched the clips of it. He knocked them both out, and then he dragged Compton on top of Mondo, so that's how Compton retained the title.
Huh.
But at the same time, Barella has not turned heel. You know what I mean? It's just like he hated both guys but decided that Compton retained.
He hated Mondo worse, I guess.
Apparently, yeah. He's hated them both. Yeah, they've had a storyline going for a long time. And also in the tag team ranks, the unlikely tag team of Ryan Nemeth, well, that's definitely a name to remember. I'm fairly certain that this gentleman is going to be signed. You know, you can't say for sure, but his brother is Dolph Ziggler in the WWE, and Nemeth certainly has the chiseled looks. I mean, he's green as grass, but he is getting better in the ring, actually. You know, he's got a long ways to go, but he is making improvements. And anyway, he picked Paradise, who was a heel wrestler that does a gay gimmick, who's now turned babyface. So the unlikely team of the gay Paradise and the young, chiseled, hot young Ryan Nemeth are your new OVW Southern Tag Team Champions. And actually, in clip form from Saturday Night Special, that looked like one hell of a good match. Just, well, maybe not technically a masterpiece if they went against Fighting Spirit to win the belts, but very exciting match. Very exciting match.
And, you know, I like Fighting Spirit a lot, and I saw the TV where Nemeth wrestled Constantine.
Yeah.
And I got to say, the size difference was ridiculous. It was hard to buy, the size difference. I mean, Nemeth looked like such a giant compared to Constantine.
Yeah, Nemeth is not a – he's not – you know, he's not a giant, put it that way. You know, he's not.
No,
a
I know,
man,
but Constantine must be a real midget. I mean, the
I
way it looked on TV.
Yeah, Fighting Spirit are both very, very short guys. I mean, I enjoy them as a tag team. You know, I tend to enjoy Silvio more than Constantine, you know, of the two. But, yeah, and you're right. The size difference was, I have to agree. But at the same time, I would have to say that, honest to God, I mean, I think that was the best match that I've seen Nemeth have, his best overall match, you know. Not that it was I'm not putting it on a stack, but I just thought that I thought it was passable, put it that way, you know.
Yeah, I did too. It's just he's obviously, with that inexperience, he's not the best at working around the size difference there and making that smaller guy look as good as he possibly can with that huge size difference. But obviously the guy's got the look and the athletic ability that, like you said, it's a name to remember. And with that pedigree, I mean, this guy is going to get a strong look for the big leagues, no doubt.
I would say, he, you know, it's maybe a couple of years down the road, but certainly a name to remember, you know. But the way they rush guys now, who knows, you know. Everything is such an incredible rush job now. And OVW is going to be, their next Saturday Night Special will be Saturday, March 5th. You know, and they've done pretty well with those monthly shows. And another note from OVW was they were supposed to, this past week, start, they've been airing at noon in Louisville, and they were supposed to move to 1 o'clock starting this past Saturday, the 12th, but they still aired at noon this past Saturday. So I'm not sure if the team screwed up or if they decided to stay at noon. I mean, you know, with indie wrestling, you don't know, you know, but at least last week they stayed at noon. And I guess the other somewhat interesting thing is Al Snow has been brought on, I guess, as a new official trainer at OVW. And starting in March, he is going to be having an advanced class for experienced talents called, Larry, it's going to be called an advanced methodology class.
Well, I would tend to think an advanced methodology class taught by Al Snow would be pretty damn good.
I was going to say, it probably is. It's going to be that. It's going to be advanced methods and advanced psychology, and it's for advanced, you know, he's got several weeks running. And anyway, so if anybody interested in that, go to OrbiWrestling.com. But apparently you have to be, have some experience to actually, join that class, But anyway, I thought that was a bit of an interesting development there,
cool idea.
Yeah, so... Yeah, we'll see what happens with it. They also have their Homecoming 3 shows coming up on Tuesday. I'm not looking at the computer. Tuesday, February 22nd, with Rob Conway and Nick Densmore, former OVW champion Paul Elias. There's going to be a war hero of all names, a fellow named Michael Hayes, who is apparently a war hero, is going to be making his debut. But basically, several OVW alumni are going to be appearing on that show. And I've never been to one of their homecoming shows. I just haven't been able to go. But apparently, those shows have, in the past gotten over, like gangbusters for them. So, they've got, they're plugging away. That's all I can tell you. So.
Hey, before we get to our guest, one other development that I failed to mention, of course, is Rampage Pro Wrestling. Inking a deal with Dragon Gate USA.
Yes.
To be part of their show, one of their shows here during the WrestleMania weekend. My understanding is that the Rampage show will take place first, and with the Dragon Gate show immediately following that evening, and Rampage will tape that and have that for their television. So that's a fine coup for them, I would say.
Oh. Outstanding, Dragon Gate, whether you are for their style or not, which I really actually enjoy Dragon Gate pretty well, but, one of the most high-profile indies on the scene today, so that only can be good for Rampage, and, they're Chip Days and they're Kyle Matthews. I mean, this, you never know what's going to happen, but this actually could be, pretty easy to see, a potential stepping stone for those guys to get more work in the, in the high-profile indies out there. So, yeah.
The another name I know for sure that's going to be on that show is Bull Buchanan, which I'm very glad to hear.
Well, he's going to be bigger than everybody. You talk about Constantine and Nemeth?
Yes. Yes.
Which,
he will
way,
power over everybody.
I don't know if you call it a problem, but, even watching Bull and Rampage, he's just like you mentioned, with Nemeth and Constantine example, God, he's just so much bigger than everybody in Rampage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big man.
Ooh, boy, he's a bear.
Well, I guess Murder must really be having a good time.
Well, it takes a while to pay for Waffle House, and you got to get over to the Motel 6.
Right.
You got to get a can of flea powder. You got to stop in the men's room and put a quarter in the thing and get one of those Jimmy hats, And it's a whole thing, and then Murder, Larry. He's got to get into his mode,
He's got to get right for it. So we'll have to find out more about this if and when we get a hold of this guy.
Yeah, and then probably if I know Murder like I think I do, he's probably, but he may be snoring by now. I don't know. What kind of a show have you booked me into tonight, Larry? What have you gotten me into?
Well, hopefully things are going to take a turn for the better here when we get Tracy Taylor on with us. Oh, wait a minute. Just got a texture. That might have been Murder. He might have been upset here. Let's see what this is.
Oh, no.
He says he's on hold.
Oh, good. I hope you heard all that, what I just said.
Oh, boy.
Have you not been looking at the switchboard?
I'm looking at the switchboard and I see nothing.
You see nothing.
I see nothing. Maybe another technological problem here tonight with Blog Talk, because I don't see anybody there. What a clusterfuck! Let me try to call Tracy Taylor here and see if we can get her on the line and go from there.
Try to call Murder, but no, this is better. Hey, Murder, how you doing, buddy? Roll up dolls and less like they used to, do they? All right.
I guess I could try to call him.
Is it, you think we should? Wonder who will answer. Well, this harkens back to the days of the nosebleed section. I'm sorry, folks. This is a... Hello?
Yeah. Well, it's now it's not dialing out to Tracy. Nothing's happening.
Well, I feel bad for not getting ringside rap all these weeks.
It says dialing out and nothing's happening.
Well, you know what, Larry? This could go hand in hand with the difficulty in downloading that program you were trying to download.
It could be that the whole site is in the shitter for the night. You know, I this is not good.
Yeah. Do we abort?
This is not good.
Oh, God. Oh. Well.
All right. Let me try to dial out here again.
I was going to say I do have some good news I could lay on these people.
Yeah. Well, if you got something to talk about, then feel free, because this is a disaster here.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, since we're desperate here and we're you know, this feels like Saul last Saturday on TV, you know. So
hey, you know, but, we might not even be on the air.
What does it say on the? We're not on the air.
Wait a minute, somebody's calling here.
Okay. Here's something.
Oh.
Hello.
Is screwed up. I can't see you on there.
Hello. I heard something. Well, right now I'm just sitting here watching the dog, the Shih Tzu division, Lady Lipschitz, just one, and she's got an Irish Shamrock, and she's walking this big dog around the ring, and yeah, life is good here in Louisville, Kentucky. Only slept for 2 hours last night, and here I am on Blog Talk Radio making a complete course of ass out of myself. Larry, are you there?
Well, I can. We are on the air because Murder said he can hear all the shit you're talking, but he's not able to. He's not able to get into the switch into the waiting room here to get on the air. So.
Well, I'm glad he's listening to the shit we're talking. You know, I mean, you know, shouldn't he be with a young lady by now? I guess this just shows Murder's dedication to. To us. Thank you, Murder. Thank you very much. Well, Larry, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Okay, well, since we're just killing time and this ain't going to be our best show, folks. I figured that out already. You know, this feels like if Mark Danger ran his own show, you know what I mean? So, have you watched the new episode of Rampage?
You know, I only watched the promo segments because I was there live, so I didn't watch the matches because I've already seen them.
Well, you know, I think they did our friend Murder a great injustice on that particular program.
In what way?
Well, let me ask you this. You've been watching wrestling since, 1960-something?
Me?
Yeah, you. You're the only one on the line.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching wrestling since, I think, I want to say 68, 67, something like that.
Okay. Well, when you do, like, a fireball angle, it's supposed to be a big deal, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they, you know, they had the first match, which was J-Rod versus Corey Hollis, which was okay. It was fine. Then they did the deal where Murder One came out and said he wasn't taking the night off. And Bobby Moore came out. And you know what? I think Bobby Moore is, you know, he ain't much to look at. But I actually think that guy is an underrated talent. I really
yes.
believe that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because he has gotten so much better.
Yeah, I enjoy watching that guy. I really do. I think he's got, you know, I like him. You know, he's – anyway, you know, and Murder and him have a brief sequence and then the hate junkies come out and – you know, fire is thrown in Murder One's face, right?
Right.
Well, Larry, that was the last we ever saw of Murder One. Now, Bill Behrens, you know, did make a reference to it with maybe 25 minutes left during the Hot Like Lava versus Drew Adler and Marvelous Michael Stevens match. But that was the last we heard of it. Now, to me, Larry, they had this, since we're just killing time, I'm going to be real nitpicky, okay?
Pick away.
You know, okay, well, I will. And Murder One, listen to this and write this down so you can give this to Jimmy Rave so you guys can, you know. But listen, this tag team main event that they had was certainly not a marquee main event for their TV show. So it was set up perfect to really do this right. They should have been in the back with towels on Murder One's face. There should have been pandemonium. There should have been chaos. Sal Ranero should have been running around. Dr. Gayton should have been running around. There should have been cutting back every so often. And then they could cut back to Hot Like Lava versus Adler and Stevens every so often because that match was not particularly important. It could have went back and forth. Now, I know it's independent wrestling, so I don't necessarily expect an ambulance to be there. There should have been a towel going over Murder's head. He should have been helped out to a car. Gayton, whoever, driving, and they should have shown it driving away. None of this happened. Now, I know they're going to say, you know, this is going to be addressed in a future episode. He's going to show up with his face bandage. I know this is coming, but when you have an angle like this, you know, and I know these people that are watching online, they're all smart, I get that, but I just think if you're going to do a fireball angle, you can't just do it, pardon my pun, Larry, but you can't just have the follow-up be half-baked. I think you have to sell it as a huge deal and almost a showstopper, you know, to a degree. I mean, this really should be a big deal, and it just wasn't, you know, portrayed that way. And I'll go a step farther. You know, in my scenario, while they're going back and forth to the ring with the tag team match and while they're showing the chaos in the back with Murder's injury, if let's just say it's Dr. Murder's got a towel over his face, you know, people are getting in the car and Dr. Gayton screams away to the hospital. I actually think I guess you could have even had a camera, but I'm not even asking that. But I think you should have had, like, Dr. Gayton call in on the cell phone and let's say talking to Ranaro or talking to Behrens, you know, or talking to Ben Masters, an actual call-in from Dr. Gayton at the hospital, you know, with an update. Even if he says, we don't know anything yet, or, you know, Murder One may have partial blindness in his right eye, you know, or he may have third-degree burns on his face, something to really sell this angle. None of this happened, and I was just kind of left feeling like, you know, just missed opportunities. That was my feelings on the episode. Larry, what do you think of that whole rant?
I think you should have Gayton could have been examining Murder himself. I mean, the guy's an eye surgeon, right?
Yeah, boy, thank you. That's even a better idea than I had.
You know, which we might see that. And I would agree with you that you know, again, I didn't watch the show, but if there was no other follow-up than that on it, then, yeah, that was a missed opportunity. Now, I can tell you one thing I can tell you that would have influenced the scenario you're describing is that was not the scheduled main event for that hour.
Okay.
So they would have, had they gone with what was supposed to happen, they would not probably have been wanting to do cutaways. Nevertheless, cutaways or not, they could have done more with it to make it a bigger deal, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said the Gayton thing. I didn't think of that. They could have so easily went to Gayton's office that night, or at least headed that way, you know?
Yeah, he had the panic backstage. Gayton's trying to examine the guy's eyes and see if he's blinded. And yeah, I mean, you could have done that.
Yeah.
They could have done a lot more with it.
Yeah, and like I said, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but their only, you know, little contribution was Behrens, and even that was meek, and he just said, we hope to get an update on Murder One before the show's over. That was 25 minutes left, and not another word was even said about it.
Right.
That was it. And I was just like, boy, you know, I mean, I'm guessing it wasn't. Was the fireball spot kind of hastily planned that they didn't really think post-fireball for backstage? I mean, I'm guessing that was not hastily planned. I wouldn't think.
I don't think so. I don't know that for a fact either way, but I don't think so. I think that was the way that was supposed to go down, you know.
Now,
that was not just a last-minute throw together.
You think Murder One is listening to this and cussing me out good or what?
Well, he hasn't texted or called.
Really,
maybe just... maybe he gave up, which I wouldn't blame him if he did.
Yeah. I mean, to be real honest with you, I mean, I think when the talent does that, I almost thought like it did him a disservice. You know what I mean?
Given that he is absolutely one of the top baby faces there, and they just burned his eyeballs. These guys, there should have been incredible outrage over this.
Yeah, yeah, he went to the back, and that's all we saw.
Yeah.
I was going to mention too, Larry, and I was going to ask Murder about this, and I spoke with you just a little bit about this earlier, but a guy that wrestled in Georgia a lot, and I know we don't talk a lot about national promotions here on the show, but tonight anything goes, huh?
But, looks that way.
Actually, there's a chance this whole show could get shit canned. I hope not.
There is a chance. It's one press of a button, Trent, and it's gone forever.
Yeah, nothing would shock me.
I know where that button is, and I'll be tempted to press it when this is over.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be too shocked. But I'm talking about Ron the Truth Killings. Who wrestled NWA Wildside and all that. And Larry, I'll tell you,
K Crush. He was K Crush in NWA Wildside, managed by attorney agent Jeff G. Bailey, back in the old Steve Martin days, the early days out there in Kern. This would be 1999. When Killings was out there.
As a matter of fact, my only appearance ever in Cornelia, I saw K Crush versus AJ Styles.
Ah, those were the days.
Yeah, I saw that match. Well, Larry, and I'm really not trying to be gloom and doom, but to be real honest, I'm kind of worried about Killings. I think that he looks to me like a guy, that needs some time off here. About a month ago, he had an episode where he had walking pneumonia or something, and he was found by some other, it might have been Christian and some other wrestlers, like found passed out and in bad shape, his levels all out of whack, I guess greatly dehydrated, and basically actually could have been a fatal life and death situation. I mean, if he hadn't gotten attention fairly soon, he could have died, he was in bad shape. And it seemed like he was on the road, back on the road. It feels like not maybe a week later at the most. I mean, the next week he was back on the road again, and then ever since then, I have been watching Raw, but a couple weeks ago he tried to skin the cat. They did a spot where he and Morrison were both trying to skin the cat at the same time, and Morrison did his perfectly, and Killings, he could not do it. He could not. I mean, God bless him. He finally, just by sheer will, somehow got himself back over the top rope, but you wouldn't call it skinning the cat. You wouldn't call it skinning the gorilla. I don't know what you'd call it. It was painful to watch. He just kind of flopped back in the ring, made it back in the ring, and then of course last week's debacle of when they were in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he did his "What's Up" song, and at the end of "What's Up," he they're in Milwaukee, and he said "Green Bay, what's up?" which caused the Milwaukee crowd to turn on the babyface Killings. And then Vince McMahon yelling in Michael Cole's ear made sure not only did they bury him that particular match, but they continued to bury him pretty much throughout the whole rest of the show, and he got to be mean-spirited. And also in that match, Killings took on young, inexperienced Green Mason Ryan, who's only up there because he looks like Batista, which I believe this was Mason Ryan's first singles match on Raw, and Killings was just, of course, Ryan can't do anything anyhow, but Larry, I'm telling you, Killings blew pretty much every single spot in that match. And it was like he was trying to go real fast, and he did like a spinning attempt at a forearm to the head, and it bounced off. Looks like he hurt his knee. I mean, it was like he was trying so hard he was out of control. You know what I mean? He was just going so fast and trying so hard, he was out of control, and he was in there with a guy who doesn't know what he was doing. And yeah, so, I mean, like I said, not to be gloomy and doomy, but after the last couple of weeks, I'm kind of hoping that they give this guy a chance to maybe get his body back, 100% and his head back 100%, because, man, Ron Killens is you know, really, to me, he's a damn good talent, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just hate to hear that, because I do think he's a great talent. I've always enjoyed him and always been pulling for him ever since his Cornelia days. And
yeah,
I mean, I just hate to hear that's kind of the way things have gone for him.
He just looks like a guy. He looks like a guy that's like both, you know, physically and mentally burned out. And he looks like a guy that physically just, I mean, his body is the same. He's still got that 8-pack, but he looks like a guy that just, like, you know, when he got sick, he came back too soon, you know. And he just doesn't have the, you know, the strength or whatever it is right now. And I honestly believe if he just got a little time, he'd be back to his old self. But, you know, these guys are, Larry, you know, they're always real worried about their spot, and rightfully so. And, you know, Vince McMahon doesn't believe in vacations. I'm not saying that's what's going on, but I believe there is pressure for those guys to keep going, you know, and not that.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, since we're talking national promotions, I think we have to give credit where credit's due from all indications, and I didn't see the show, and I know you didn't either, but apparently TNA put on a top-quality pay-per-view last night from all indications.
Nobody saw, yeah.
yeah, for those who happened to see it, maybe you want to buy the replay, because apparently the actual buy rates, of course, was as minuscule as usual, but I certainly trust Mike Johnson and Dave Meltzer, if they agree that it was a really good show, it probably was.
Yeah, apparently everybody just worked their ass off, and like every matchup on the card was good, and just one of those nights where, you know, in the ring, things were just, you know, really, really clicking. I'm sure not that many saw it, but, you know, I started, like, reading the review, and it's like, good match, and great match, and good match. I'm going, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Just reading that review, it was just like, what kind of a bizarre, because usually TNA pay-per-views always feature some good matches, you know, but they always tend to feature a lot of, like, you know, plenty of slop, too, you know.
Yeah, and then water it down with goofy angles or goofy segments that take away from the good stuff, which apparently that didn't happen last night either. There weren't any of those goofy segments, so.
Well, I mean, unless you count, you know, Jeff Jarrett putting the custody of his kids on the line.
I like the ankle. It's a little preposterous, but
yeah. Well,
at least
I tell you
different.
What, I really don't. You know, well, Larry, times are tough. We're talking TNA, yeah. But anyways,
yeah.
I tell you what, I really. Yeah. First of all, you know, the stuff with the Jarretts at the Jarrett house with the kids, it's funny and it's entertaining. But man, something about having those little kids on that TV doing it is just. For me, it's really, really uncomfortable. It just
yes, that makes me uncomfortable
should,
too. That I agree with you there.
I don't think they should be putting those, you know. And I'm sure that they're telling those kids that this is all play acting and we're having fun. But you know, and some of the kids are even laughing when they're delivering their lines. I get that, but there's just, you know, and this is a real life situation these kids are in. You know, and I don't know that they're really old enough to handle all that. And you know, I don't know when. Wrestling has a certain way of messing up families, you know. So
I'm in complete agreement. You know, I mean, obviously Hollywood actors have families, at least some of them do, and they're doing all sorts of things on the screen. But that doesn't mean their kids have to be exposed to it. Nor is it actually their lives. So I think it's one thing to do the angle on television. It's another thing to include the kids in the angle with footage of them at home and so forth. It'd be another thing to talk about it on TV, and then you know the kids don't have to be included.
And you know, of course, we praised TNA, and we're already bitching about them.
That didn't take long,
did it? It didn't take long to go from the praise to the bitch, did it? But, you know, but the thing is what I was going to say, Rick, I got a couple things to say, but first of all, they've got two angles with kids going on at the same time. Not only are they doing an angle with Jarrett's kids, there's another concurrent angle, totally different, with Devon's kids. Now, his kids are older, but do you think it's kind of counterproductive to have two angles with some of these children going on at the same time?
Well, now that would be typical of TNA to be redundant in doing two angles that are too similar at the same time. They've certainly been known to do that before.
But I just think they're going to do something with kids. You got to do just one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even at the pay-per-view, as good as that pay-per-view was, they followed – the Bully Ray versus Devon match with the Jared Angle match. Those are back to back, you know. So you got, I don't know, I don't know that I would have positioned it that way, you know. And another thing is, now that we're on our, we've already praised him enough, let's keep the bitch going. You know, now a lot of times in pro wrestling, Larry, as you know, finishes get tipped. But this Angle Jared thing with the kids on the line, but Jeff Jarrett, to me, he like totally tipped the finish that he was going to win, because he kept saying, March 3rd, Kurt Angle's going to give away the bride. March 3rd. You know, you wouldn't be saying that date over and over if something was going to happen March 3rd.
Yeah, I don't think there was any shred of mystery about who was going over in that match.
Yeah, but I mean,
why
would you keep mentioning that date as if, you know, it's set in stone? But what would happen if Kurt won? I mean, he, you know, they're still going to review their vows on March 3rd, and even if they are, Kurt's not going to give away the bride. You know what I mean? The whole key of the storyline is Kurt giving away the bride at that point.
Yeah,
you
agreed.
Couldn't really, I mean, it would have to be worded that it was potentially, March 3rd was potentially a big show, not just set in stone, see? You know, I mean, again, you know, anybody could say this is nitpicky stuff, but I don't know. It's just, that's the kind of stuff to me that just really makes just a world of difference, you know, when watching wrestling. It just,
I don't think that particular point is at all too nitpicky. I mean, that's the way it would have been done in the old days. You wouldn't have broadcast the date you were going to complete the angle on until after the pay-per-view, where you actually had an outcome.
Yeah, because they still had plenty of time. It's only 14th today, you know. So they still had plenty of time to announce that.
And I think that's partly where things get lost when you're taping so much stuff in such a short time frame, like they do down there in Orlando too, where they, what are they doing, you know, four shows in a couple days?
Yeah, and another thing is, now this may be more nitpicky, but I don't know if you're watching TNA and watching the whole thing with, you know, the Angles and the Jarretts, which apparently has increased female viewership. Women are into this deal, right? Okay, great. But, and I understand this, but this made me chuckle, but it made me shake my head too. The very first week, Jaren Angle comes out, right? And she's bitching at Kurt, okay? And she says, next week, Kurt Angle, I'm going to spill the beans on you. Well, if this was a real-life situation, Larry, you would not be saying next week. You would just go ahead and spill the beans. You know, when you say next week, doesn't that just give away that the whole thing is just fake? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Be your impetus to wait a week?
Yeah, you'd think you'd just go ahead and blab it right then. Yeah, I agree. Since you brought her up, I will say that Karen Angle is one of the few things that will get my wife's interest as far as anything that's going on in wrestling TV. If she's on there, she'll want to take a look at that. For whatever reason,
she
wants to take a look at it. And I will say that Karen Angle is not, boy, when she first came back, I guess it was Nurse or something, she was screeching something horrible.
Yeah.
But I noticed
this
last week, she was much, much better on the mic.
You know, I think she's really a natural as a performer. I think she's really quite good. You know, what was weird, when she very first appeared on the scene, you know, when she was with Kurt, man, she showed a lot for just a complete novice. And then they started doing that horrible Karen's Angle stuff, and she got worse by the week, which was clearly, well, I ain't going to throw her in Russo's lap, but who's ever coaching her, okay?
Yeah.
She got worse and worse and worse and was finally taken off TV. It was like a case when she was early on being more maybe herself, she was good, but the more they tried to make her into something else, the worse she got, you know?
Yeah, it was overkill. It was better off to limit her exposure.
But like I say with this thing, next week, Kurt, I'm going to spill the beans. You know, she should have started talking and, like, Jared should have took her mic away. Something like that to make you wait till next week. Or Kurt should have took the mic away, or Mike should have been cut. I mean, there's 20 things they could have done to have them wait till next week. Not for her just to say wait till next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that to me is a difference between good booking and shithouse booking.
Now, she did do a good job in the ring when they did the I did like the stipulation announcement last week where they had all the wall of security guys. And when she starts freaking out, as soon as Jarrett says, you know, putting up the custody of the kids, she starts freaking out. At least that part at least was effective to me. Even, again, you still have to suspend disbelief for the you know, the angle as it is, but if you accept the angle as it is, she did a good job.
Well, two things there. I think her acting was okay, but do you think she freaked out strong enough? If you're really a mother facing the thought of losing your kids and your husband is going to face an Olympic champion, do you think her reaction was actually strong enough?
Well, if you're on national television and you're not going to shoot the guy or strangle him, probably so.
Yeah, you know how women are with their kids. You know what I mean? The thought of women losing a kid, I mean, she looked traumatized. She looked upset.
Yeah.
I just think that I think in a natural reaction, I think it would have even been, you know, more exaggerated, you know. I think she sold it, but I'm not really sure, you know. But I admit that is very nitpicky there, you know. What made me laugh about that segment was, you know what I really thought about that segment, Larry?
What about it?
It was the first time in recent memory that a wall of security actually worked, or at least they didn't try it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Name me a time where these geeks just weren't flying out of the ring. They never touched them.
Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, when I first saw it, I thought, sure as shit, these guys are all going to be dead. You know what I mean? Here in a few minutes. You know, between Jared, they're all going to be gone. But they never even...
it would suit me just fine if TNA put a moratorium on pull-apart brawls for a number of months. They have been so... Backstage brawls, pull-apart brawls have been so overdone to death. It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. What's the meaning of any of this anymore?
Yeah, and the pull-aparts of wrestling are just done so much, and a good pull-apart can be exciting, but, boy, you can only do it so often, you know?
Right.
I think the more you do it, the less... a good pull-apart at the right time, that's gold, you know? But when you see them every week and you see mediocre ones, that's no longer gold, you know? So
this is kind of tangent, on Ringside Wrap last week, Rich Tate and Les Thatcher, they had David Lagana on there. And, you know, one of the points he made, it's not a new point, but it's one that can't be made often enough, is about how, you know, when guys are facing each other time and time again on television, where's the specialness? And he brought up Brock Lesnar, you know, well, he had two matches last year. You know, how do you get any specialness for pay-per-view when guys repeatedly face off and have physical contact and do matches with conclusive finishes even on television? As you pointed out, having Jarrett get pinned last week in our conversation earlier off air today about Jarrett getting pinned in the main event on TV last week. So it's just a huge problem with wrestling as it's being presented at the major league level these days.
Yeah, well, you got weekly episodic shows, and it's hard to keep things fresh, and of course, the MMA are really going to have a couple fights a year, and it's like everybody else, you know, when you hear Randy Orton versus John Cena, you want to puke, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just been done to death, and obviously they know it's been done to death, but they, you know, they have to act excited about it, but at some point you're just like, you know what used to make me laugh is like, as great as Jim Ross was, if you notice, every single time Kane would come out, and I know they did the angle, the time where Kane had Ross in the office and I believe burned him and stuff like that. You remember that? All that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But every single time Kane came out, Jim Ross, oh, God, it's Kane! You know? I was waiting for the time where he would just say, oh, it's Kane. 52 weeks a year, oh, God, it's Kane! Oh, God, it's Kane! How many times can you do that and have it? It's not, I don't know that it's anybody's fault, but it's just, at one point at what point do you just realize that this might not be that big of a deal?
It was one thing when WWE had that incredible talent depth and you could disguise more, much better deal with the limited roster, not having the rotation of the territories and so forth. But now with the talent, the roster being so thin, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, not only are they thin. Did you listen to the Chris Jericho interview on the Observer site? Which was
no, I did not.
Well, one of the things, he said a lot of things, actually a great listen. He's a very interesting guy, but he was not shy in mentioning the lack of experience in the WWE locker room, you know. He said this in a couple of interviews. He said, I believe with Alex Marvez as well, but basically, you know, said that, and this is, you know, maybe a little scary trend, and he said it's not going to change back either. Basically what he said is, you know, a three-star match now is going to be considered a five-star match. The three-star match is a new five, because these guys do not have the worldwide experience that guys like him have. They don't have it. They don't know how to do it. You're not. So that even limits what they can do more, and what they can sell and how they can sell it. I mean, you're dealing with inexperienced performers. And one of the best points I ever heard, and I'll tell you who made it, was you remember Dan Morrow, Athena's husband? And I hadn't really thought about this until he said that. But when SmackDown came on the scene, his theory was WWE started burning through fans faster. He said because between the two shows, you saw how much they recycled the different stories, and they recycled them faster because they had two shows. I thought, what a great point that is. Because every so often, you know, you're going to get this, you're going to get a beat the clock, you're going to get a, you know, this, and you know, but when you have two shows, stuff, you're going to see it even more often. And then if you're a new fan, if you're not really a diehard fan, you're going to be, oh, I saw this shit before, you know. It's like a reset button.
Well, wasn't 2 hours on TBS for Georgia Championship Wrestling, wasn't that enough to deal with the product? They had 2 hours on Saturday and 1 hour on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that was plenty to get the product over.
I was going to say, to be honest with you, those, as finally as they remembered, but 2 hours of squash matches and one feature match is actually a pretty darn long show, you know?
Yeah.
Those were, you know, those were long shows, plenty long, that's it, you know? Yeah.
It's of course, an entirely different concept. We're not giving you anything.
Well,
we're rarely going to give you anything here on TV. Buy your tickets and come to the live shows. I mean, it's just a whole different way of doing things. So,
well, Larry, we've given these people an hour. And if you last an hour, you deserve the gold medal. if the show makes the uptime, I'll give you the call in it, Larry. I guess the discussion at the end wasn't too bad. We're sorry about the technical problems. Well, we try. It's amateur radio. What can you say, right? But
But Blog Talk let us down tonight. But we'll be back. The good news is next week we have the NWA World Champion Adam Pearce will be with us next Monday night, and we're actually going to talk about NWA Hollywood a good bit next Monday night, which is an excellent show. If for those of you who have not viewed it, you might want to check it out on the internet. But Adam Pearce will be here next Monday night, and we will do our best to get Tracy Taylor and Mickey Knuckles rescheduled. And my apologies to Tracy Taylor on this screw up tonight, but you know, beyond our control apparently.
And Adam Pearce, right? NWA Hollywood, Larry, right now is my favorite internet show, so I'm actually really looking forward to talking to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Larry, let's let the cat out of the bag. I don't know if you call this a coup or not, but. I can't say 100%, but I'm going to go ahead and say with about 90% certainty that not only do we have Adam Pearce next week, Larry, but we have your opening match is just as important as your main event on a card, right?
Hey, wait a minute. Don't announce this yet. Don't announce it. Let's see if anything's if the drum roll's working. Let's see.
Okay. Next week on this show in our opening slot, and this is especially for you Nashville fans, you want to tune in because the one, the only, the legend, Chicken Hat Charles is scheduled to appear on this program. And what a joy that's going to be. Hey, Larry, maybe you can download the Chicken Dance polka for him or something like that. I don't know. The man needs something, you know. So the chicken truck. Yeah, how about the chicken dance? You know?
Yeah, so, there we go. Well, I'll see if I can dig that up. Well, at least some things on the switchboard are working.
Yeah, well, isn't that apropos? But anyway,
yes.
Chicken Hat Charles and Adam Pearce who, on the same show, who would have thunk it? Who would have
There's
thunk
a pair
that?
To draw to.
You know, we try to please all crowds. But, Larry, before we go, I guess you don't follow Raw, but I'm just going to, you know, and we're going to see if you're right next week. We'll see if I'm right. You know, tonight on Raw, there's going to be an announcement made for the special guest host for WrestleMania. a big, big star. Who's going to be, Larry?
I thought it was going to be Bob Barker.
It's going to be announced tonight. They haven't announced it yet.
I had heard Bob Barker. You know, I know that's not a big star, but I had heard at one point it was Bob Barker. So.
Well, yeah, I believe he's going to be there. And my understanding, and he may be it. My understanding was he was going into the celebrity wing of the WWE Hall of Fame.
Ah, okay.
Being there.
Okay.
That's not to say that he won't be the host of WrestleMania. So your guess is Bob Barker?
I mean, that wouldn't be if the idea is to get a guest host that's a real blockbuster thing, that certainly wouldn't be it.
Right. Although he was probably the best guest host of all the Raws of any of he was fantastic as a guest host.
No doubt.
Maybe the best. I'm not going to stick. Okay, make your guess, Larry. You got to stick with Bob Barker.
What, did they get Justin Bieber? I don't know.
You got to make a guess, Larry. I don't know either. They've been
all right. Well, then I'll guess Justin Bieber.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go a little different direction, and a lot of people are making this guess. I'm gonna guess The Rock.
Oh boy. They need something.
Yeah. So that would be big, would it not?
You would.
So we'll see if anybody's right next week, and if not, I'm thinking The Rock or Stone Cold. I'm going that direction, okay? But I'm really leaning towards The Rock. So.
Yeah, I don't think Stone Cold would be big enough. Really?
Well, the only reason I would think Stone Cold is he's hosting Tough Enough.
Yeah, and that's why I think it wouldn't be him is because he is hosting Tough Enough.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, exactly. So, and The Rock recently has, you know, in an interview not long ago, you know, kind of hinted around that maybe there were some talks going on, so would they even fan the fire there or something, you know. I don't know who else could be that big, you know, because WrestleMania's never had a host, you know what I mean? Who else could
right.
be on that? Nothing else really makes sense. You know, Justin Bieber, yeah, he'll have the 14-year-old girls, but as a host of WrestleMania, I don't know.
No, I agree with you. I mean, being that it's probably going to be the one and only time in my life I attend WrestleMania, I mean, I hope it is something great.
Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, and clearly, I mean, I know that they know that they, you know, could use a shot in the arm. You know, could it be Brock Lesnar? But he's not that good of a talker.
No, I can't see that.
Yeah, I'm just throwing. But he is a big star, you know. But I'm not sure that he transcends things. The Rock would be the perfect guy, would he not?
The Rock would be. The Rock would be the one guy who could that could really do something to really jazz up the show.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Larry. So we'll see if we'll see what happens. We'll see if we're right next week. With Bieber, I'm going to be shocked. So.
TVD, thanks for bearing with this, all these difficulties tonight, and hopefully we'll get back on track next week, but thanks for carrying us through this hour. I much appreciate it.
They're not all a home run, you know. So, hey, like it or lump it, but we'll do better next week. Chicken Hat Charles and Adam Pearce.
Tell them, folks.
Cue the robot lady, would you, Larry, and Murder One, get your ass back here next week, all right?
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.